They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
I don't know how this bitch did that many stairs. She's been stabbed how many times?
That's a lot of cardio, too.
God, I mean, the escalator is one thing, but like those other four flights of stairs? Damn,
I know,
girl.
I know.
Hello, Stephanie.
How's it going?
Well, is that too much?
No, I liked it. It felt like fluid.
Yeah.
It was good. That's our show. Thanks.
Bye.
We went real quick today.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. Not good after watching our movie.
Oh,
but
well.
It's fine. Back to reality for Stephanie, it seems like.
Yeah,
and
this was, I feel like this is back to what we should be doing.
Oh, okay.
Not crazy, silly movies that don't make any sense, that don't
that
have any
involve
plots.
Robots and malls and killer clowns. You don't like any of that?
Yeah,
shit?
That.
Okay.
That. This is an actual scary movie.
Sure. Yeah. Real thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real thrilled to watch it too.
I feel like you're saying that you didn't like it.
I'm real bitter.
Oh,
real bitter.
Are you mad that we're getting back to the actual premise of our podcast?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow, that was really.
I had it cushy for a little while.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I was doing pretty good. I had some good, like, you know, smooth sailing for a few weeks, and then
killer clowns.
We go from killer clowns to us, right. And I'm like, well, fuck me, you know. So that
Here we
was
go.
Cool. Yeah. What are we drinking today for me to get through it?
Let's see. We're drinking some Woodbridge.
Uh-huh.
Really fancy.
Bougie plastic little mini bottles. Yes.
Pinot Grigio.
Of course.
Twist top.
Yeah.
One serving size.
Well, as soon as your brother's over, I was like, oh, you got the fancy mini plastic bottles.
You know what? I don't skimp for us.
You're like, I didn't buy the $6.99 pack. I bought the $9.99 pack.
I feel like you're not very grateful right now.
I love mini bottles. I like them a lot.
Yeah. You know what? Why dirty a glass?
No.
You said it before.
And I like it. I feel like I'm my own little individual, like just tailored to me. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's cute.
And I feel like when the little bottles are in like an ice bucket, mm-hmm. I feel like they get a lot colder than they do like a large bottle that's sticking halfway out.
A lot less to chill.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't feel like I'm drinking as much either, because anytime we do put them in wine glasses, it's not the same kind of pour we pour in our glasses. Because we got a little heavy pour.
We
have a heavy pour.
It's actually a serving size. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's like the thing on the back of like the food when you're supposed to be like have the calorie count, like the serving count.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like when you eat like M&Ms, it's like, oh, that pack was a 4 serving and I ate it all myself. Cool.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is.
Yeah, like a serving size is 5 M&Ms.
And like, I'm like, oh, I ate an entire family's worth of M&Ms. Got it. Cool.
In about 2 minutes.
Yeah. No, I devoured it. It's fine. So what you're saying is that our heavy pour is not to what a normal glass size is?
I don't think so. I don't think that would be normal serving sizes for a normal person.
Well, that's a bummer.
I know.
I mean, I'm still going to do it, but
that's why we pour our own drinks.
See, and I had it the other way. I was like, oh, I feel good about myself because this is less than my pour. If I drink 2 bottles of it, then whatever. I'm drinking less than I would feed myself. It's fine. But really, it's normal and I'm doing it the not normal way.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
Got it.
But I mean, don't stop doing it.
Oh, no, I'll keep heavy pouring.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to deprive us.
Don't get crazy. I mean, don't get crazy.
I'm like, we went through those bottles fast. Like, oh, I want that heavy pour. Hell yeah.
You're like, I don't feel this bottle at all. Oh, because it's a serving size.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm learning.
Oh my God.
All right. So we already kind of said what we watched, but we watched Us.
Yes.
A Jordan Peele movie. What did you think of it?
I actually really liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. I still have questions.
A lot of unanswered questions, yes.
Yeah, after watching the entire thing, mm-hmm. there was a lot of things where I was like, I had to stop it and rewind it and watch it again because I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Mm. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
What did they just say?
Yeah. And even at the end, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I wanted more answers.
I don't. Okay.
Okay.
We'll get there. Hey, maybe we can talk through it.
Maybe we'll figure it out together.
Probably not. You know what? I usually find out something that I've got questions about when I'm listening to the episode when everybody else is listening to it.
And then sometimes I'll be listening to it and I'll be like, how did we miss that?
I don't know.
Like, we talked about it,
and
obviously.
And sometimes I'm like, maybe I should call Steph and like get her feedback on this because maybe I'm right. I don't know.
I know. I'm like, oh, okay.
I'm like, that was a really dumb analysis that we came up with. That's not true at all.
Yeah. I mean, our listeners probably have to think that too. They've got to be listening to us and be like, are they still not getting it? They're talking about it. They're right at the edge. Yeah. They're right there.
They're yelling at us in their cars. Yeah. While they're listening to the episode, they're like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're saying it. Stop. And we're like, I don't get it.
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Welcome to our show. I have mixed feelings on the movie.
Okay.
Because, like we said before, after I watch a scary movie, I can appreciate a movie, whether it's my kind of movie or not.
Yes.
So I did think that, like, after watching it and being able to, like, digest for a minute, I was like, this was an interesting, different kind of creative concept. Like, I liked the idea of it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions still.
Yeah.
A lot of things in the movie I fucking hated. I'm not going to lie to you. There was a few moments in the movie I watched on mute.
Yeah.
Just because I just felt like I had to just keep going through it because I kept pausing it. And I was like, no, I just got to go through it. And I just muted it and I just took notes. And I just, you know, it's fine. I had my subtitles on. And then I rewound at one point because I'm like, oh, I think I'm missing something. Rewatched it. But
yeah, there was a couple points in here I'm like, ooh, Steph's not going to like that.
Oh, there were points I hated. And at one point, I was watching in my living room and I had my back door open to my house. My dog, it was so nice that day. My dog was like in and out of the house. I'm like, whatever. At one point, fairly early on in the movie, I shouted and I was like, ooh, I got to close up that door.
Other people are going to hear me on the outside.
At one point, I was like, that bitch can climb a tree. And I was like, oh, that could be weird. So I was like, come on in, puppies. And I just closed the back door.
Right.
And I kept it closed for the duration of the movie.
So are you under the impression that your neighbors don't think you're already weird?
Oh, they have to think I'm weird.
I mean, there's a lot of shouting. They probably hear me
shouting regardless of the windows or the doors are open or not.
Yeah.
But to me, it made me feel like I was filtering them from my outbursts if the door was closed. So I had to deal with it that way.
You were saving them.
Yes.
Right?
There's children nearby my house. Right. I had to be, you know, I had to do the right thing.
We don't want to have, like, the mothers, like, shoving their children into the house.
With the kids, like, yelling. Is that the shouty bitch? And they're like, what? She said it. I don't know. Oh, man. All right. Before we hop in, though, a couple reminders for everybody. So we finally have exciting news about our YouTube giveaway.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. So as everybody knows, we've been doing this YouTube giveaway of when we get 100 subscribers on our YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do drawings.
Oh.
This is me drawing names.
You're really handsy right now.
Throwing the names in the air.
Okay. And you didn't even hit the microphone. I'm impressed.
Dustin's going to be so proud of me.
You're flailing without hitting the microphone. It's fantastic.
No one would believe me either. So we're going to pick 5 names at random of the 100 subscribers that we had.
Uh-huh.
And in the order that we pick the names, they get to pick 1 of 5 Funko Pops that we have as a prize.
I love it.
So on December 19th,
the
Sunday, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I guess we have to be here, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be our favorite. So, Courtney, you have to be here.
Okay, I will.
We're going to be live on Instagram and YouTube.
Yes, and at the same time. This is the first time we're going to be doing double.
We're going to have like two. I mean, guys, bear with us.
Oh, my God. If it's a train wreck, I'm sorry.
That's going to be awkward.
Okay. Where do we look? I don't know.
Maybe we can have them like behind each other or something. I don't know. We'll make it work.
We'll figure it out.
It's going to be weird. We're going to be on both YouTube and Instagram live, and we'll pick the names out, and we'll tell you live, and then you don't have to worry if you're not on our video, like our live stream.
We wish you
would be. But if you can't make it because of time zones, whatever, fine. You can't make it. We still love you. And we will reach out to you and let you know that you won.
Of course. And then you get to choose in the order that you get picked.
Yes. And when we contact you, we'll be like, these are the ones that are available. Which one do you want? Yay. Yay, you. So put on your calendars. December 19th.
Okay, I will.
6:30 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern Standard Time.
Uh-huh.
Shit's going down.
I'll be here at 6:30.
Can you be a little earlier?
Oh, okay. I'll be here early.
Okay, cool. TipsyPod.com. Guys, I mean, every week, I'm just like broken record. Ugh, TipsyPod.com.
Oh, I don't know what you're going to say. Tell me.
Oh, I would love to. There's so many fun and useful tools on TipsyPod.com. There's ways to support our show.
Uh-huh.
You could buy some TipsyPod merch if you want to get a shirt. Or a stemless wine glass that we custom make for you with lots of love.
Yes, we do.
Like, we get the glass. Courtney has the Cricut. We make everything on it, package it up. We write you a little love note, seal it up real nice and snug so it doesn't go anywhere, and send it to you. It's made with love.
All of it.
Yes.
All of it is.
Our little hands.
Other than us just driving it to your house.
We don't.
Which is weird.
We don't blow the glass. Like, we're not doing that.
Right.
That would be weird. Like, we don't have the specialty in that kind of thing.
Or, like, creeping on you and giving it to you at your door.
Oh, yeah. We won't stalk you. Don't worry. We'll mail it to you.
Yeah, right. Well, because we don't have time for that anyway. So,
sure. But we make the glasses. Well, you know. We make them for you.
Right.
Just check them out.
Just take it at that.
You can also find all of our social media on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube.
Yes.
Yay. Follow us on all of those. Rate, review, subscribe. 5 stars. Obviously, guys.
Well, don't you love us?
Of course they do.
I mean, if you love us, then get on there.
5 stars.
5 stars.
Mm-hmm. And there's also our Patreon.
Patreon.
You can pick which tier works best for you. They all help support our show, and we love you for that. Our patrons are having fun recommending movies for us that have not been huge fans of Courtney's.
No, they're not. But I still love them anyways.
I've been loving the picks. So guys, keep picking movies on Patreon. Because if you're our patron, you can recommend movies for us to watch. And you can vote on movies if we have ideas we want you guys to vote on. And you get episodes a day before everybody else. You get them on Tuesday. And you get those episodes ad-free. So, I mean, what's better than that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
It's great stuff.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. You should be doing it now. Getting on there.
Get on there.
Whatever one you want. Just pick one.
Absolutely. No pressure.
No.
Well, it's
for your own good.
Yeah. You get good shit out of it. Come on.
Yeah, it's for your own entertainment.
Should we hop in?
We should.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Mm-hmm.
A family's serene beach vacation turns into chaos when their doppelgangers appear and begin to terrorize them.
Oh, that's true.
It's accurate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Oh, you want to save it? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, because I feel like I'm going to be jumping like too far ahead.
Yeah.
Because honestly, when I saw a preview of the movie, I thought it was only that family's doppelgangers. That's all I thought.
Yeah.
And then I was very surprised to learn that there was like, everybody has a doppelganger.
As we get in here, I've got questions.
Yeah.
That maybe we can talk about and figure out.
Yeah. And I couldn't decide when the movie was over if I would have liked it more if it was just them terrorizing themselves.
Oh.
Opposed right. to, like, everybody. Because then I was thinking, like, well, that leaves, like, weird, like, they can do some shit and then the family can get, like, framed for. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I thought it would leave, like, more, like, cool opportunity. So I couldn't decide if I would have liked it better that way or not. But I don't know.
Do they all have to? Okay. I've got so many questions. Okay. We'll get there. Okay. So we start with some on-screen text.
Mm-hmm.
It says, there are thousands of miles of tunnels beneath the continental U.S., mm-hmm. abandoned subway systems, unused service routes, and deserted mine shafts.
Mm-hmm.
Many have no purpose mm-hmm. at all.
No.
So I didn't know what that meant yeah. until the end of the movie.
Yeah. And so, like, honestly, I didn't put it together until just now. So oh. cool.
I mean, I didn't get it to the end. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotcha.
Things are okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Really taking it back. Full circle. Full circle. Okay. So the movie starts with a TV showing commercials.
Mm-hmm.
One specifically about, what was the name of it? Did you write it down?
The Hands Across America.
Hands Across America.
1986.
Yes. So we have that. That's mm-hmm. a short little clip.
Which is also like a little bit of foreshadowing.
A little bit. Uh-huh. It is. Yeah. And that's why I'm kind of bringing it up because I didn't write it mm-hmm. in my notes because I didn't think it was important, but I should have. And mm-hmm. now I know. So we meet a family in 1986 in Santa Cruz
mm-hmm.
on the boardwalk, I guess, carnival games and
yeah.
stuff. I don't know. I've never been to Santa Cruz, so I don't really know. But it's like at a boardwalk and
but
there's a bunch
is.
Of games,
like,
carnival
they
games.
They have this huge boardwalk along the ocean and it's just full of like carnival games
rides.
And like, rides. Yeah.
Okay. So we meet Russell. Is it? I don't even know. I don't think they ever said her name. Is it
I don't Rayanne know the mom's name.
Or Rain or it's R-A-Y-N-E. I don't, Rianne? I don't know.
Okay.
And then their daughter, Abby.
Yep.
So after this game that they're playing, they continue walking through all the rides and the games and everything. And then Russell asks Abby if she wants to go on a roller coaster with him. Mm-hmm. But then they end up playing more games.
Sure.
So Rianne tells Russell to, you know, watch his daughter because he's playing another one of these games.
The whack-a-mole game.
Whack-a-mole mm-hmm. game. Addie's kind of like standing away from him.
She's been like really quiet the whole time. She's holding like one of those like candy apples.
Yeah.
And she's been like real quiet, just kind of walking behind her parents. Her parents have this like noticeable tension between the two of them. They're mm-hmm. kind of like under their breath bickering a little bit. A
little bit.
And then they'll like turn and like address Addie. So she's been walking behind them. So the mom says to her like, "Why don't you go to the bathroom with me?" And she's like, "I don't have to go." So then she tells Russell, like, we'll just watch her. I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Correct.
She's got to be like six, maybe seven.
Yeah. Okay. So she leaves. And then obviously Russell is wrapped up in his whack-a-mole game.
He must be doing good.
Yeah. So Addie, she just straight up turns around and like walks towards the beach.
Yeah. It seems like something like drilled her. Yeah. Compelled her to like walk away.
Yeah.
Toward like the stairs that take you to the ocean from the boardwalk. Okay.
It was really weird.
Yes.
So he isn't paying any attention. She walks on the beach by herself. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's kind of in a trance. She hasn't really said anything. She's just kind of like moving. Mm-hmm. So as she walks around, she comes up on this building that's lit up like with carnival looking lights. Mm-hmm. And the name on this building says Vision Quest, Find Yourself.
Mm-hmm. Arrow pointing to the doorway.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she walks up to it. She goes inside and it starts raining outside. Uh-huh. So she walks through this like crazy house and it looks like a forest and trees and stuff are painted on the walls.
It's like owl like this pops out of the wall, scares her and me. Yeah. Fine.
Then all the lights go out.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course they do.
Why wouldn't they?
We're like 5 minutes into the movie. Of course the fucking lights go out. I can't.
So she spots like an exit sign. So mm-hmm. she starts like walking towards it. And then this is a mirrored maze.
Yeah.
So
it's like one of those like fun houses that aren't so fun where it's like all these mirrors around. You don't know which way you're going.
Yeah.
Because she like walks face first into a mirror and realizes that the exit sign she saw, she looks around, she sees like five exit signs because there's just so many mirrors around her. So she's freaking out trying to figure out how to get out of this weird, awful dream.
Right. Yeah. Well, then she starts like walking around. She looks really casual. Like
she's calm.
She is calm. Eerily calm.
Makes me uncomfortable.
And then she starts whistling and then she starts hearing it come back to her.
I thought she heard the whistling.
No. Oh. She started whistling and then she heard the whistling.
Because I thought she heard like one person whistling and then it started becoming like multiple people whistling. Either way, I didn't like it.
I didn't like it either.
There's like whistling in the dark and I can't fucking stand it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
So she still continues to walk through hearing this whistling. Ugh. She's not scared at all. Then she ends up like backing up to like a corner or like a wall. Mm-hmm. And then there's another little girl that's like behind her.
That's dressed exactly how she is.
Correct. So
like we think it's a mirror at first.
Yeah.
Because she's walking backwards and then we realize she's moving backwards, but the image of her isn't moving at all.
No, but you can tell it's the back of her head.
Yeah, it's a different person, but it's her. Like, it's identical to her.
I don't like that.
But I fucking hate it.
Okay, so she turns around. We see her face mm-hmm. and not the other little girl that she, like, backed up into. Mm-hmm. And then Addie's eyes get really big, mm-hmm. and then it flashes to the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The movie starts, and we see a room full of rabbits.
Yeah.
Like, they're in these tiny little poor bunnies.
Oh, I know.
They're in these tiny little cages that were, like, barely bigger than them. And I mean, a wall.
Wall.
Floor to ceiling, the entire wall full of rabbit cages. I mean, stacked on top of each other, full of rabbit cages.
I'm like, why?
We find out. But as we zoom out, I'm thinking, like, how many rabbits? Look, as the credits are going, we keep zooming and zooming. I mean, so many rabbits in each room.
There's a lot of foreshadowing.
Yes.
Which I like.
Yes.
Because it kind of, you look back and you're like, oh, that mm-hmm. makes sense now.
But when you zoom out, the room looks like a classroom. It's like all these desks facing like a chalkboard. And the back of the room, like behind the desks, is where this whole wall of rabbits is.
Right.
Well, I felt bad for those bunnies.
I know. Okay, so present day.
Yeah.
We meet a family mm-hmm. driving down a road. They're like jammed to some music. Uh-huh. Kids are asleep in the back. And then they pull up to this house. They all get out of the car, get their bags out. It's apparently their vacation house.
Yeah.
They go, I guess, once a year or they try to go every year.
Yeah, I think it's like, the understanding I got was that it was like Addie is the mother in the family. Her family's vacation house,
yeah.
and she hasn't gone the past several years, but they used to go like every summer.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now they're all together sitting at their dining room table, mm-hmm. Eating, and they're talking about going to the beach. And then we meet Gabe, who is Addie's husband.
Yep.
Their children, Jason and Zora. Mm-hmm. And then Addie looks real uncomfortable when he starts talking about the beach.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. Well, I didn't know who she was until a little bit later, like a few minutes later.
Sure.
But she looked real uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is she? I don't understand. understand.
Because she wants to stay like near their house. Correct. And he wants to go to the beach in Santa Cruz. Because
they got friends there too.
Sure.
It's like, we need to go.
We have a vacation house too. Ugh.
So now we flash back to a doctor's office mm-hmm. where Addie's parents are talking to the doctor about her experience in this house or vision building or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they determine that she has this post-traumatic stress disorder mm-hmm. happening. And they need her to talk about what she saw because she's not really opening up.
Right.
And then she's obviously acting different.
Yeah.
So they're like, we need to fix her. Like, there's something wrong with her. Mm-hmm. She's completely changed since she's went into this building.
Yeah.
And then we flash back to Addie present day. And she is having a conversation with Gabe about them coming every year, being so close to the beach but never going. She's not interested at all. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know why.
Uh-huh.
He ends up guilting her into going and says that Jason really wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And why deprive her? And then they have friends that are coming out and she's like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
We'll go, but we have to be home by dark.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to be there out there.
We're not going to be at the beach when it's dark outside.
No.
He's like, deal. Great.
I won. So Addie goes down to the basement to look for Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up finding a box that has this white rabbit stuffed animal
mm-hmm.
and some pictures of herself when she was little. And then she has this vision where she sees herself doing ballet.
Yeah.
So.
Because that basement, it looked like her parents like modified. So she got like a little like ballet studio. It
exactly.
A mirrored wall with like the bar on it. And she sees like her childhood version doing ballet at the bar.
Which was really cute.
Which was cute until her child version made eye contact with herself in the mirror. Uh-huh. And I didn't like that at all. And then when she is looking at her childhood self, she like snaps out of it because she hears like her son upstairs yelling.
Uh-huh.
Because he got himself locked in a closet.
Okay.
Well, how did they not fix that door?
Obviously.
So like there's a closet that her son Jason hides in. Also, we should say that Jason constantly wears a mask on top of his head.
Oh my God, yes.
It's a creepy, like, animal-looking mask that, like, sometimes he pulls over his face, but he wears it on top of his head.
But why?
I don't know.
Okay.
So he's in this closet, but he uses, like, a toy car to, like, wedge it between, like, the door frame and the door to, like, keep it propped open.
Yeah.
Well, he pissed off his sister, scared her, whatever, so she kicked the car out of the way, and he got himself locked in the closet. I'm thinking like, one, why does a closet have a lock like that?
Right.
That seems unnecessary for a closet.
No.
And how has it not been fixed by now? Because clearly this has happened to him before.
I don't know.
Because they just knew like, oh, Jason's locked in the closet again.
Just take the whole thing off.
Just change it. Get there to the door. You don't need it.
Okay.
Take a linen closet.
Yeah. Just okay. Put a curtain up there. It's fine.
Whatever. So she had to go upstairs and like get him unlocked from the closet.
Right.
Okay.
So they all start hearing, all three of them. It's Addie and
Zora and Jason.
Yeah. They all hear like honking. On the back of the house
uh-huh.
from something. So they go out there to the dock and they find that Gabe is honking the horn on this boat and like doing like yeah. wheelies in the lake,
he
basically.
He bought this like cheap ass boat and he's like
old.
Super stoked about it.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
So he's excited.
Bought it for real cheap. You don't say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So his family doesn't look like really convinced that this is a great idea. As they're talking, the motor ends up dying. And then he hits it a couple times.
Like with his fist. It just kind of hit it a little bit. Like, oh my God.
Nothing happens.
No.
And then all of a sudden, it starts by itself. Okay.
Back to doing donuts.
I
will say, so Addie and Gabe are the husband and wife, and then Jason and Zora are their kids. I think Gabe has some of the best one-liners in this movie. I've known a bunch of them.
Uh-huh.
He is like a little bit of that like tension relief
uh-huh.
that we need in the movie because he just says like random shit sometimes.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I like Gabe. I like him. He like... makes me laugh a little bit. Okay.
Well,
I can breathe for a second.
Right. There's a, like, when, the, yeah, just like you said, that when there's mm-hmm. tension moments,
yeah.
he's just like, he says some stupid shit and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Or kind of like what people are thinking.
Right.
He just like says it and you're like, okay, good. Okay.
I have somebody that's listening to me. Great. Gotcha. Okay. So the family's in the car now
mm-hmm.
and they are heading to the Santa Cruz beach.
Yep.
And then they're all like chilling, listening to some music. Mm-hmm. They got some good music in
this
movie.
They're dancing.
Mm-hmm. Gabe is excited. Addie, not so much.
No.
And then we quickly flash to Addie when she was little.
Mm-hmm.
And
so as they're approaching the beach, Addie's eyes get like really big.
Yeah.
And then we flash back to when she was a kid in the back of her parents' car.
Yeah.
So it was like them on the way home from her going missing at the beach is what it seemed like.
Uh-huh.
And her parents are kind of arguing amongst themselves in the front seat. She's only got 15 minutes. How could she be so freaked out? Whatever. And she's in the back seat, like hyperventilating as her parents are arguing in the front seat. And then we hear sirens and Addie like comes to present day.
Right.
So she looks and there's an ambulance that's kind of like blocking part of the road they have to stop for. Mm-hmm. And there's a man on a
stretcher.
The stretcher.
Yeah, yeah.
Being put into the back of the ambulance that she recognized from when she was on the boardwalk the day that she went into that weird creepy house.
Uh-huh.
Like she recognized him from when she was like whatever, 6 or 7 years old. And
which is weird.
Very creepy. And she sees him being put into like the back of the ambulance. She's like, your kids, like, don't look, look away, whatever. And the EMT like waves them around the ambulance. And as they slowly go by, Addie's just staring at this man being put in the back of the truck.
Completely uncomfortable.
Yes. Cause she recognized him from what, 30 years ago?
Who does that?
Ugh.
Well, apparently he looks good for his age.
Uh-huh.
So they finally get to the beach, mm-hmm. and Addie sees the same Vision Quest building. I think they call it something different now.
I didn't notice. Maybe.
She glances at it and kind of looks uncomfortable as she's like walking out towards the beach with her family. Then they end up finding their friends that were visiting there too. Their name is Josh and Kitty.
Elizabeth Moss. Okay.
Okay. Stop it.
Do you know I had his name as Tyler for all of my notes?
Tyler! you pulled a me.
And then I went to IMDb, and I think I saw it at one point because his name is Josh Tyler. And I don't know where I got Tyler from, but I was like, oh, his name is Josh. Okay.
Interesting.
I don't know. I thought it was Tyler. It's fine.
Okay.
I know it's Josh now.
Well, maybe Gabe called him Tyler by his last name.
Maybe.
I don't remember that, but hey.
Maybe he's got two first names, so I don't know.
Well, his name is Josh.
His name is Josh, not Tyler.
And Kitty.
And his wife is Elizabeth Moss.
His wife is Kitty.
Elizabeth Moss.
Okay. So they all settle in at the beach with their friends, and the guys are talking about Gabe's new boat. They're kind of shooting their shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Kitty starts talking to Addie, but Addie's not really like in the conversation.
Super disconnected.
She's kind of like zoning out.
Did you get the vibe that it was like the guys that were friends and not the wives?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's the vibe I got too.
So, but they know each other, and obviously they've done this before or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can feel Addie's anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, I could feel it just by where she was looking and acting.
Yeah. She was not present at all.
No. So the camera pans to the kids. Jason's playing in the sand. Zora's doing her teenage girl thing, listening to music, just chilling on the beach. And then the twin girls from the other family, they walk up to Zora and they ask why her brother is so weird.
Yeah, because they're doing, like, cartwheels on the beach and then, like, I guess they weren't getting the reaction on Jason they were hoping for. And she's like, what's wrong with your brother?
Okay.
Like, well, bitches.
Well, maybe he doesn't like you.
Yeah, you crushed his sandcastle, bitch. Move on.
Well, Zora sticks up with it. Sticks up for him. And she says that he just has a hard time focusing. And then she notices Jason walk off. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't worry about me. I'm just going towards the bathroom, which is towards this Vision Quest building.
Yeah.
And then
it's disturbing to me that this kid would choose to go to the bathroom in a porta potty opposed to in the ocean. That's so disturbing to me.
Maybe he's afraid of the water.
Maybe. But as a female, I do not want to be anywhere near a porta potty.
Oh, I don't want to be. No. I don't want to touch nothing.
No. I'll just go in the ocean and pee in the ocean. It's fine.
It'll dissipate. It'll be like I never did it.
If the sea creatures can pee in there, I can pee in there, you know?
I mean, they poop in there, and I wouldn't poop in
the ocean. Right, and we still swim in it. Let's be real. I know.
Exactly. And there are mammals bigger than I am.
I know it.
Okay, so Addie isn't focusing on this conversation with Kitty. So Jason gets out of the porta potty and then sees a man that has his back to him. Mm. He's wearing like this trench coat and he has his arms spread out wide and then his fingers are dripping with blood.
Yeah. And Jason notices it. We don't know how close he gets to him.
No.
But he definitely sees the blood dripping from his fingers and I did not like it at all.
Yeah. Because when we see him see this man in front of him, it flashes back to Addie when she realizes that Jason isn't there. She kind of looks around and she doesn't see him.
Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she panics. Jason is walking back and Addie runs over to him, tells him to never do that again. Don't scare me.
She's so upset. Yes.
Yeah. She's freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave the beach because I guess Gabe is like, I think we've had enough time here.
Sure.
She's getting a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back to the house and then that night, Addie's saying goodnight to Zora and Jason, and Jason finally takes his damn mask off his head, and then Addie notices the time, which is 11:11.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that meant.
I know, but it freaked her out.
It freaked her out. We find out.
And then Jason asks her, too, which I thought was kind of funny, if she was mad at him for, like, going to the bathroom, and she said that she was just afraid that, like, he went missing or that he was taken, and Jason goes, by terrorists or perverts? And I was like, okay.
Okay, Jason.
Okay. Those are the only two. Okay, cool. Okay. And then Addie just says to him, like, they lock their fingers together, they put their palms together, and she's like, stick with me, kid, I'll keep you safe.
Stick with me, I'll keep you safe, okay?
And then I was like, is this foreshadowing? Because
yes, of course it is. There's a lot of foreshadowing in here.
And as she's like going to like put her kids to bed, like say goodnight to them, she's closing every fucking curtain in the house. She's like still paranoid. Visibly uncomfortable, freaking out, paranoid. Like every curtain is like closed. She's closing the curtains in the kids' room.
Why did she even go?
I don't know. And then like at this point, I'm thinking to myself, I go, did she never tell her husband what happened to her as a kid? Because it doesn't seem like it. No. Because he doesn't seem to understand why she's freaking out. And I'm like, why wouldn't you have told him your trauma?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Especially if you guys frequent this house. Like,
Well, obviously she's a little bit closed off about it. And he's completely 100%. Not even paying attention to anything that she's doing.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when she gets up to turn off the light in his room, she notices a picture that's laying on his dresser.
Yeah, something like he drew.
Yeah. So it's the man that was at the beach with his arms out with the bloody drippy hands. And she looks horrified.
Yeah.
And she's like, who is this? And he's like, I don't know. Oh, okay.
Cool. So shrug it off, whatever.
So in Gabe and Addie's bedroom, Gabe is brushing his teeth, about to go to bed, and he talks about wanting to go fishing. Mm-hmm. Now, as he's having this conversation with Addie, Addie's not paying attention at all. Mm-mm. She's literally facing the window, just zoned out, not paying attention to him, not moving, not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then he's like not recognizing any kind of signs that she's in distress at all.
Right.
His ass comes out, lays on the bed, like on his back, all sprawled out like, hey, I'm sexy.
And come get some.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I'm terrified. Yeah. Like that. I'm not doing this.
Yeah. She turns around and tells him that she wants to leave. She feels like there's been like a black cloud over them the entire time that they've been there, and she doesn't feel like herself. And then this is where I was like, I guess he has no idea. That's why I started questioning, like, why he wouldn't know why she's uncomfortable being there.
Right.
And then she starts telling him, like, something happened to me when I was a kid here. And she says to him that she went to this house of mirrors and there was a real girl there who looked exactly like her, but she wasn't a mirror kid. Like, she was a real girl who was exactly the same as her.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she said it freaked her out so much that she just ran as fast as she could out of there.
Yeah.
My whole life, I felt like she's still coming for me.
And I was like, I don't like that. Like, she's getting closer.
I know. Yeah.
I didn't like that at all.
Well, Gabe doesn't believe her.
No, and like, it's at like, all. I get why he would be, like, skeptical of a story like this, especially if she's not a twin, whatever. So she's telling him that, like, since she's been there, she's been experiencing, like, these weird, like, coincidence kind of moments, you know? And, like, things
like
she
feels like she's closer.
Yeah, like, she feels like that girl is getting closer and closer to her. And Gabe goes, who? The mirror girl? And I'm like, see, like, moments like that, Gabe. Moments like that, if you could get me. It's like, fine.
Gabe. Okay. Are you listening at all?
Right. And then she gets upset because she's like, you're not listening to whatever. And then he's like trying to lighten the mood in the room, like lighten his attention. And he's like, I'm pretty sure I could kick your ass. So if she's like you and she's your version, I can kick her ass. And he's saying in a way of like, I'll defend you.
Right.
But like, she did not like it.
No.
And then a fucking course, the lights
go out
in the entire damn house out.
I mean, why wouldn't they?
And then Jason is standing in their doorway and scared the shit out of me.
And them?
Yes, because the camera angle changes and Addie, Gabe, and myself go, oh, God damn it, Jason. Got so mad. And then fucking Jason goes,
there's a family in our driveway.
Fuck you.
I'm sorry, what?
Fuck you, Jason. Don't say that shit ever again to me. Don't say it ever again.
This is where I have my first note. I was like, this freaks Stephanie out.
Yes. I felt like Jason made direct eye contact with me and said, there's someone in the driveway. And I said, fuck yourself.
You know, I have. She said, you shut the fuck up.
I did. I just assaulted Jason on here.
I can hear you yelling at the TV screen. You shut the fuck up right now.
Sometimes when I'm watching movies, I go, oh, God damn it. Oh, damn it.
Oh, my God. I enjoyed that. I laughed when I wrote that.
Oh, no, it's so accurate. So accurate, because all of that just happened.
So the three of them look out the window and see this family of four all holding hands, wearing matching red jumpsuits.
And we can't see their faces because there's streetlights behind them. Uh-huh. So they're just like silhouettes. We could tell they're wearing like matching outfits. Yeah. And they're all locked hands, and I fucking hate it.
And they're not moving.
And you can tell it's a family of four, like two adults and two younger people.
Yes. Ugh, one smaller than the other kid.
Ugh, fuck that.
Addie freaks out and calls 911.
Yes.
Gabe gets dressed, and he decides to go outside. Sure. He's going to take care of this. Get him off the property.
Fine.
So he goes out, asks if they need any help. Mm-hmm. They don't move.
No, they don't say a damn word.
He walks closer and tells them that if they're just trying to scare them and they picked the wrong house, they need to get off the property. They still don't move.
No.
Then he retreats to the house because he's like,
That didn't work.
This is fucking weird. So he's like, we need to call cops. And Addie's like, I already did.
Yeah.
But they're 14 minutes away.
Yeah. And she turns the door. She goes, go put your shoes on. I like it.
Be prepared here. So Gabe's like, I need a bat. Give me a bat. So Zora gives him a bat. Mm-hmm. He goes back out to threaten them. And the guy in the group starts like walking towards him.
Okay. Because the fucking, okay, I can't. Because Gabe is like trying to be the second, like, I asked you all nicely, get the fuck out of here, whatever. The woman goes like,
oh yeah.
She fucking claps and the family disperses. And this is where I started goddamn lose my mind, okay?
Yeah.
Because the kids flee off to the sides, like into the woods around the house. And one of the kids is on all fours, just like not human motion at all. Like that. Before we were talking about if we watch a movie that humans move in a non-human way, fuck that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of F-bombs in this episode. I'm sorry. This kid is now on all fours, like crawling into the damn woods. The other girl sprints into the woods. And the big guy is full speed, like power strutting down the driveway toward Gabe. And I'm like, get in the house. Get in the house, Gabe.
Well, he does.
Oh, he does. He retreats quickly. Oh, my God.
As soon as he, like, closes the door and locks it behind him,
yeah,
the guy that was coming towards him starts banging, like, on the door.
Oh, my God. I can't.
This is, like, Strangers, like, all over again.
That's what happened. I got, like, as soon as they said there were people in the driveway, I was like, oh, my God, Strangers vibes. And you know how I fucking hated that movie.
I loved it.
I was like, oh, my God. Just more people terrorizing people. I can't. Ugh.
So the kids have made their way around the back of the house, and they're, like, looking through the windows
and
stuff.
You can hear them like running and you can see their shadows. Oh, I hate it.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I hate it. Mm.
And then I was like, oh my God, we hear the same whistling that Addie heard when she was younger.
And they were like, and Gabe was saying, because he locked the front door where they heard the whistling from, and he was like, make sure the back doors are closed. And Addie, like, freaking quick on the spot, like, she is like in movement all the time. She ran to go check the back door, and she sees, like, outside her bedroom window, like, someone scaling a goddamn tree. And this is where I shouted, like, a bitch can fucking climb a tree? I can't, because she just sees, like, feet, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. She's in a tree now. Like, why is someone in a tree? I can't.
Oh, my God, this is amazing.
I hate it. I hate everything about it. And then we just hear the whistling, and they're all back together again, and the whistling is getting louder, and Addie starts freaking out when she hears the whistling. Like, if her face could look more panicked, it somehow does,
right?
And I don't know.
It's her facial. I love her. Yes. I love her as an
her
actress.
Eyes are so expressive.
I
it's
know.
Just like her eyes can get so big somehow. And I just, it was like, I was thinking, like, anybody would be freaking terrified in this moment, but somehow the whistling, I mean, it triggered her.
Well, of course it did. It would have triggered me,
because back from her, like, childhood when she heard the whistling, that stupid mirror thing.
Yeah.
And then we see outside the person walking. We see their feet. And then we see them, like, approach a rock and pick up a rock. And I was like, is that one of those key ones?
Oh, it's a Heidi key.
It's a Heidi key.
It's
rock.
Definitely a Heidi key. He gets the key out. He just unlocks the door.
Oh, ballsy bitch. I hate it. I hate it.
Because it's their doppelgangers.
It's them.
They don't know that yet, but it's them.
It's happening soon. They find out.
Yeah. So Gabe tries to close it, obviously, but is overpowered.
Yeah, the guy grabs his bat.
Yeah.
I'm like, Gabe, you had one job.
Yeah, and like hits him in the leg or something.
Yeah, because Gabe is still holding the bat trying to like put his body weight on this door. But like, spoiler, it's his doppelganger putting the same amount of body weight on the same door. So the doppelganger like sneaks his hand and he's like, a thank you. And takes the bat like out of his hand and then smashes Gabe in the knee with his own bat.
That's true.
Oh, I can't.
Oh my God, you were really amped up on this movie.
This whole part of the movie I fucking hated. I hated it. I hate it.
Okay, so the driveway family comes in and corner the family in the house in the living room.
Yeah.
So I called her Scary Addie before I actually knew her name was Red.
Oh, I know her name. I just called her Evil Addie the whole time.
Oh, I called her Scary Addie. And then I revised it because I found out that her name is Red.
Oh, fun.
It was either Red or Red Pants. I called her Red entire time.
I think it is Red.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Red walks over with a pair of scissors.
Oh, God.
Music gets real quiet. Yeah. And then, God damn it, the littlest, what, I don't know, Pluto? And I think
his name is Pluto.
Yeah.
The doppelganger of Jason, their son, his name is Pluto.
He busts through the fucking window behind them, scared the fucking shit out of me.
Me too.
Oh my God.
I'm like, this bitch, nothing hurts him.
I should have known when the music got really quiet, that's when something happens.
100%.
God damn it. Mm-hmm. It got me. So Gabe, Addie, and the kids are all sitting on the couch now and looking at the driveway family that is standing in front of them by the fire.
Because Pluto, he lit a fire and it lit up their faces and the whole family can see it's them terrorizing themselves.
Yeah.
It's us.
Oh boy.
Okay.
What an awkward realization that is.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay. So Scary Addie, aka Red, begins to struggle to talk. Like she has.
Her voice.
Oh, she is such a good actor.
She's so good.
I loved it. So she says that there once was a little girl that had a shadow. She kind of goes into the story.
Yeah. They were tethered together.
Mm-hmm. When the shadow was hungry, she had to eat Ruddy Blah Rabbit, where the other little girl, Addie, ate worm food.
When the girl ate, her food was given to her warm and tasty. But when the shadow was hungry, she had to eat rabbit.
Addie received Christmas presents at Christmas, but Red received sharp and cold objects and things like that. So it was kind of where they're receiving and doing the same things, but in a very harsher condition.
The part that was creepier for me about this whole thing was like once she got into like the adulthood part, because she said, and then the little girl met her Prince Charming.
Right.
Who like she met Prince Charming and I had to marry
Abraham. Uh-huh.
Who just grunts in the corner. Whatever. And then she said, and then. And the little girl had a beautiful baby girl, right?
Right.
And then she goes, and then she had a son that she had to get cut open to get the son out of her. Uh-huh. And then she says that she had to cut herself open to give birth to a monster.
Right.
And I was like, for some reason, once it was like, it got to adulthood and like comparing the families, it got really creepy.
It got real creepy. And it didn't really make sense to me at this point. What was going on until like later on in the movie where I could like understand exactly how they were tethered together.
Sure.
And how they like worked simultaneously.
Yeah.
But in different situations.
Sure.
It was really weird.
Because Addie's bond with her shadow is a lot stronger or harder a bond to like break than the other bonds with the shadows. Uh-huh. And it's like, I couldn't figure it out until of course the end it makes sense why that tether was so strong. But I was like, and then the whole time Evil Addie is talking, her voice and everything, I just.
Because she stuttered on words.
Yes, and it sounded like she was struggling to talk because it was all like rasped from like the back of her throat, like raspy. And I just, I didn't like it. And then she's talking and like Gabe is just not getting it.
No.
Like he's not, like he's listening but not listening because, you know, as the Evil Addie is saying like how much she hated the real girl, and she knew that one day she'd be able to be like, she'd be tested or whatever, all this shit. Gabe's like trying to like negotiate with them.
Right.
He's like,
have my wallet.
I'm like, cook on my boat. And then Zora's like, no one wants that boat, Dad.
Which is pretty funny.
So then Addie is like terrified and crying, and she's like basically telling Gabe to like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, just stop. So then Evil Addie all of a sudden has these like handcuffs, these like long ass. Like serious looking handcuffs, and creepy ass crawling Pluto grabs them from her hands and gives them to real Addie. And she tells Addie to handcuff herself to the table.
Right.
And when Addie does it, it infuriates me a little bit because she didn't handcuff herself to the leg of the table. She just took a crossbar. And I'm like, bitch, you could have like lifted the table up at any point and like freed your handcuff. They didn't notice it.
But you do know that Red, aka Scary Addie, she would have known.
I'm like, I would have tried it.
I know.
At least.
I mean, they're tethered together. They have the same thought process.
So I'm thinking like, you've just fucked yourself. You're on a crossbar.
Yeah, but she couldn't.
I know. And then Gabe tells her not to do it, but Addie's like cooperating. And as she's doing it, she tells Evil Addie, like, just don't hurt my children. Like, don't fuck up my kids.
Right.
So then Evil Gabe, which was Abraham?
Abraham.
he's like grunting and like making all this weird like noises and movements and goes over to normal Gabe.
Oh, he does get triggered by Red.
Yeah.
Because she keeps making like these sounds and these noises and these like hand gestures. Movements.
Yeah. And then Abraham goes and like takes Gabe's eyeglasses and like puts them on his own face.
I guess because he doesn't have glasses and he can't see.
He's like, shit, I can see now. This is great. And he grabs Gabe, knocks him to the ground, and like drags him by his ankle while Gabe's like yelling. He's being dragged across all that broken glass in their living room.
He's
and like
screaming
out the damn door.
Yeah.
And the whole time, like, Addie's freaking out. The kids are upset. And I was like, this is horrifying. Horrifying.
Well, then Red then tells Zora to run.
Little girl, run!
Okay.
So Addie looks at her. She's like, just do it. Yeah. Just go. Just run. And then Red hand gestures, and she does this mouth clicking noise and tells Umbre, which is the doppelganger for Zora, to run after her. Okay. So Red makes a motion to Pluto to go get Jason now.
Yeah.
And he holds his hand out to Jason, but Addie's begging to not hurt him. Like, she's like, just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. And then she kind of like lets him do it, and the boys go off to quote unquote play.
Yeah. She tells Jason to teach him one of your tricks, because we learn in the beginning of the movie that Jason is like trying to learn magic tricks.
Yes.
And he has like a kind of a Zippo lighter that like flings around your finger, like it's attached to your hand somehow.
Yeah.
It seems to be out of liquid in it because he can't seem to light it.
Yeah.
But he's using it for magic tricks or whatever. So she's like, teach him some of your tricks. Hint, 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 hint. Go play.
Get the fuck out of here. Uh-huh. So Gabe is begging for his life to Abraham, who looks like he's about to stab him with some scissors.
Oh my God. So they all have these giant ass scissors in their jumpsuits.
These gold, large, fabric looking cutting scissors.
They're seriously huge.
Okay. So now we're jumping into the closet where Jason usually hides.
Mm-hmm.
And then both him and Pluto are in there. Pluto lights a match.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pluto pulls like the mask down onto Jason's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both at the same time kind of pull them back up.
Yeah.
And then we see that Pluto's face is burned from like halfway down all the way to his chin. Jason looks freaked out.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm not about this right now.
He puts his mask back on. Yeah, exactly. Like Pluto covers his face back up. I'm like, good for you, kid.
I know.
At this point in my notes, I'm like, where are the cops?
That's a good question.
I have it in caps. I go, it has to have been longer than 14 fucking minutes.
I think it has been 14 fucking minutes past that.
It would have to be. Where are they?
You know what? I didn't even think about that. They were expecting every person watching this movie to forget about the cops.
I didn't. Good try, Jordan Peele. Oh. Good try.
She remembers. So Zora is still running, terrified. Mm-hmm. Like she bolted and is running down the road. And then we see Umbre show up and she pulls out like this. I thought it was a knife, but I think it's another pair of scissors.
Yeah.
And they both kind of hide on each side of a car that's like on the side of this road.
The creepiest thing about these doppelgangers is they have this sadistic smile on their face the entire time.
Umbre's was really fucking freaky.
This little girl actress fucking killed it.
Oh, she really did.
Because, of course, these actors are playing both sides of this role, right?
Right.
So when we see Zora, she's on like one side of the car looking through the windows like crying and scared. It has this look, genuine look of terror on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera flips the other side and looking through the other half of the car windows is whatever, Umbre, evil Zora. They have their head tilted down, looking at the top of their eyes, and they have this like shit-eating grin on their face, just fucking staring her down through the car. And I was like, ugh, that facial expression. And all of them have it. They just have this like evil look on their face.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this little girl is killing it.
I know, she really
is.
She
did great.
She did good. There's a lot of good acting in this movie.
And like the creepy part of like them looking each other through the car, because Zora tries to hide and she's just staring each other through the car. They're like at the driver and passenger side windows and staring at each other. And then all of a sudden, evil Zora jumps straight up. And Zora's like, I don't know where the fuck this bitch went. Like she just jumped in the air.
She's gone.
Ugh.
So then Zora gets like on the ground and looks underneath the car to see if she can like see her feet or like wherever she went.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she's not there.
No.
She sees the car kind of move a little bit.
Yeah.
She gets up and then she sees Umbre standing on top of the car.
On the roof of the car.
On the roof of the car with the scissors.
Yeah. But thankfully, this freaking man from across the street comes out of his house.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, get off my car.
Get off my fucking car.
And then evil Zora like turns around and looks at him and he's like, get down from there. Come here. Because she's not responding to him.
Right.
They don't talk. Except for evil Addie, the one who talks. Everybody else just makes weird grunting noises. So he's like, come down from here. Come here. And he calls her over. So we see from like a distance now, she jumps off the car and now Zora takes off and fucking runs away.
Yeah, I would too.
And we see evil Zora with her scissors fucking stab the guy and knocks him on his ass. And he's like yelling with her scissors. I was like, oh God.
Yeah, he's dead.
He gotta be, right?
He got in the way.
He got in her way.
He really did.
Oh boy.
So back at the house, Addie asks Red what she wants from her.
Mm-hmm.
She gets up, pushes Addie's head against like the coffee table and starts doing it so hard where it kind of like shatters her glass a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Red says that they've been waiting for this day for so long. Mm-hmm. And she says that she calls this the untethering.
Oh God.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't like it.
So we see a small hole being made in like this black trash bag.
At first, I thought Zora was hiding.
Well, I didn't know what this was.
I was like, is she like peeking out, like looking for... No, it wasn't.
No, it's not. Mm. We see an eyeball peering out. And then the eyeball, from their perspective, we see that it's Abraham driving Gabe's boat. Yep. So we know it's Gabe.
Gabe is in the trash bag.
Yep. Gabe's in the trash bag. So apparently, I guess he's being wrapped up and maybe Abraham thought that he had killed him. And then he's just being dumped
into
the water.
Or he was
going
to drown him or something.
Maybe, yeah. Something. So the motor ends up stopping. Like
because the boat's garbage, right?
And Abraham starts yelling and making like this
like Frankenstein noises. Yes. Like it sounds like Frankenstein to me. Just like weird grunting.
But it sounded like he was like calling somebody.
Yeah, which I think that's how they communicate because it happens a couple times in the movie because Addie's the one who talks, but she makes like noises and clicking sounds and like hand gestures to the rest of the family.
Yeah.
And they just make weird like grunting noises.
Yes.
So I don't know if he was calling to evil Addie. I have no idea. But he was like making all this like commotion in the middle of the damn water on this crappy ass boat.
Well, Gabe, as this conversation is happening between Abraham and somebody else.
Right.
Gabe gets out of the trash bag and knocks Abraham over the head with
the baseball bat.
The baseball bat that he had. Knocks him into the water. Then the boat starts up all by itself again and throws Gabe out into the water too.
Yeah, so now both of them are in the water. But we see when Abraham was like smashing the motor of the boat, when he got knocked off of the boat, the rope that was tied to like the life preserver got like tied around Abraham's ankle.
Yes.
So he's still like tethered to the boat, but they both got their asses in the stupid water.
Yeah.
So when Gabe pops up in the water, we see Abraham pop up behind him, but then immediately gets dragged away by the boat because the boat just like takes off. I was like, okay.
We could have had a different ending of the story if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, close call there. Okay.
So now we're back in the closet with Jason and Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto lights another match and lights up the room.
Mm.
They both put their masks down.
Yeah.
And then Jason opens the door, then quickly closes it because it locks by itself.
Sure.
Quickly locks Pluto in.
Yeah.
So in the living room, the two women can hear Pluto like growling and crying and making a bunch of noise in this closet. And Addie tells Red that that sounds like it's her child.
Yeah. That sounds like
it's
yours.
It's not mine, it's yours. So Red gets up and she starts like walking like she normally does. It's like a quick little
short like her walk. Upper body, it's so stiff, doesn't move. And her legs just like scamper away. And I'm like, okay. Okay.
Again, weird movements. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So Red lets Pluto out. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to try to find Jason, but then ends up finding the box that Addie had found earlier with that stuffed white rabbit in there with the pictures when she was little.
Uh-huh.
And then that was the end of that scene.
Yeah, she like takes her scissors and cuts the head off of that stuffed rabbit. And like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, I guess she hasn't found Pluto. Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
Well, she found the rabbit. So I guess she feels accomplished by chopping off the head of a stuffed animal.
I guess.
Maybe. Therapeutic, so, maybe?
Maybe. So Addie's trying to escape and she sees like the fireplace poker.
Oh, yeah.
That's like just out of reach. And I'm like, is your coffee table attached to the floor? Because she is stretching and reaching and she takes her foot and she gets it with her toes. And I'm like, pick up the fucking table,
maybe,
girl.
It's really heavy.
Like, oh, drag it or something. There's no reason why you need to be struggling that hard to reach it when you're attached to a table. On an area rug.
Listen.
That's not drilled to the floor.
It might be. You don't know.
I'm willing to bet it's not drilled to the floor.
I didn't even think about that.
And then I'm thinking too, oh, if only you put the handcuffs on the leg of the table and not a crossbar.
Listen.
Pull the table. Oh, okay. I can't.
Well,
Either way, she uses her feet, gets it, like, or like,
she toes. Gets it.
She gets the poker thing, and she like breaks the table so she can like undo the handcuff from the table.
That's her weapon of choice, by the way. She holds on to it through the
entire
movie.
And I like that she has a weapon the entire movie.
Yes, she does.
Good for her.
And it's mm-hmm. the same one. She feels good with it. Like, she feels comfortable, right?
Yeah. I think. She handles it well.
She does. So now we're back swimming with Gabe in the water. And
a leisurely swim. A leisurely night. Swim,
yes. A night swim. And we hear his boat coming towards him.
Ugh.
But then ends up like shutting off. Like,
that happens now, yeah.
Right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And
but of course, like, the motor stops like before it gets to him, but the boat's still like drifting and it's like right the fuck next to him.
It's pretty fantastic.
And I'm like, seriously?
Out of this entire lake, it came right next to you?
Right. It had to have. And I'm like, I can't.
Okay.
So Gabe's like, I guess I'll climb back on the boat. Cool. So he like gets onto the very back of the boat, like next to the motor, doesn't get in the boat.
No.
Just stands there too close to the water.
Right on the water. Yeah.
So that evil version of himself, Abraham, like jumps out of the water like a freaking dolphin and like grabs him and is trying to like stab him in the face with those golden scissors.
Right.
So like they're fighting each other off. And then Gabe's like, oh, he's me. I guess I'll just smash my face. And then like smashes his own face into like the top of the motor.
Right.
And that like knocks Abraham off of him.
It starts the motor and then he gets like chopped up. By the motor
because he, like,
blades.
Falls off of him. He, like, hits his face. He falls back. The motor starts. And then he gets...
Chopped up.
Chopped.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the end of him.
Well, bye, Abraham. It's nice meeting you. So, Addie is out of her handcuffs.
Uh-huh.
And she walks... Well, she's not really out of them. She's still in
them. She's still attached to the handcuff, but it's not attached to the table anymore. Yeah.
They're really long chain in between her. Okay.
Yeah.
So, she walks quietly through the house trying to find Jason.
Jason!
Yeah, she... loudly whispers his name.
Yeah.
Okay. So she sees him down the hall and then he runs towards his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pluto and Red see them.
Ugh.
And they start running after them.
Ugh. I hate it.
They hear Gabe honking this boat horn.
So I guess the cops are not coming, right?
Guess not. Because it's past 14 minutes for short. Maybe
a lot has happened.
Maybe they got lost.
Well, we know why they don't come later on. But right. Now I'm thinking, like, where the fuck are they? Santa Cruz, like, this can't be, I mean, like, they've got to be, they don't get calls like this often, and Santa Cruz is like a house terror, there's no way.
That's true.
Come
well,
on.
Well, but now, we know.
We know why. We know but why. At this moment, I'm like, so does no shows?
No.
Cool.
Okay, so they run down towards the dock,
mm-hmm.
they jump on the boat, and they leave Red and Pluto that are, like, on the dock. They didn't get to the boat in time.
So, like, Zora met up with them, but I must have missed, like, where she came from. Did you get that?
Zora wasn't on the boat.
Yeah, she was. She was with them.
Was she?
Yeah, the whole family was on the boat together, like, they go to whatever the next place they're going
wow.
to. But the whole family's there, so, like, was she just, like, in the backyard and was like, oh, cool, I'll hop on the boat, too? Or was she with the dad? I can't remember, but she was somehow on the boat.
She wasn't on the boat with Gabe because it was just Gabe and Abraham that were on there before.
Right. So then somehow she got on the boat with them and I don't know where she came from. I don't know if like Gabe picked her up when he was like heading back to the house or if she was like hiding in the backyard, but all four of them were on the boat when they left the dock.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know where she came from.
Okay. Well, she just appeared.
I'm like, did I miss it?
Maybe we both
missed it.
We both obviously missed it.
Okay. If someone knows, tell us what happened.
I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever.
So at Josh and Kitty's house, mm-hmm. there is like this power surge. And
of course.
To kind of set up the entire scene, she's like on the second story.
Mm-hmm.
There's this like power surge happening, but Josh is like on the first floor. He's listening to his music, drinking his drink, uh-huh. just chilling on this chair, his favorite chair.
Yeah. Didn't look very comfortable, though.
No, it didn't.
No.
Not at all.
He's wearing, like, a lounging robe. He's just chilling.
Yeah, who wears a robe?
Okay.
Okay. So, Kitty comes out from the top of the stairs, and she's like, there's something happening. Can you go?
I heard someone outside.
Yeah.
There's some noises. Go check it out.
Can you go check it out?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm comfortable. I don't want to get up. Uh-huh. He's just whining little bitch.
Yeah.
So, she walks downstairs. He appeases her, but jokingly he looks out the window and he says he sees OJ Simpson. I don't know. He's just being an idiot.
Yeah.
So he thinks she's crazy, brushes it off. Their daughters come out of their bedrooms and ask kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
And both of the parents tell them to go back to bed. Don't worry about it. The generator's going to kick on. It'll be fine. Whatever.
Sure.
So then out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
the same thing happened to them where with Gabe and Addie, where they're doppelgangers.
Yeah, their evil versions just appeared. Like,
just literally
appeared.
The twins
appeared and it startled me because they came out of fucking nowhere.
Came out of the room that they just came out of.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Moss and Josh, his name is not Tyler, is downstairs looking up at like the balcony talking to the daughters, and out of fucking nowhere, the evil twins come and stab them in the neck with the scissors. Like, it happened so quick. Like, what the fuck is that?
I don't know.
And then around the corner comes their evil versions of like the parents, and they start attacking them and stabbing them in the neck with scissors. Like, these people are efficient. Like, holy shit.
I was like, well, I thought it was just this one family.
Right. And this is where I started thinking, like, so does everybody have an evil doppelganger? And then I was like, would I have liked it more if they only had one? I don't know.
I don't know. It makes it a little bit weirder.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it would have been easy to, like, get rid of four doppelgangers, like, an entire...
But how did they get, like, how did everybody get duplicated? We don't know that. Okay. Moving on, because we don't know. Okay. So Kitty tries to crawl out of the four of them. Yeah. She's the only one that's still kind of living.
Right away.
Yeah.
I never understand in movies why they do this. Like, if somebody is still alive and their killers are around them, they're like, I must make movement. Like, why do you do that?
I don't know. Because you can't move. It's not like you're going anywhere.
They're not
going
to try to kill you again. They're trying to kill you once. Like, just wait. Wait until they leave.
Just act like you're dead.
Right.
Ugh. Okay.
So she starts like crawling, and then evil Josh like walks in front of her, and she starts like grabbing. They all have these weird like sandal, ugly shoes.
Little brown sandals or something. Yeah.
So she starts like grabbing his foot, and then evil Josh like puts his hand down to like reach in almost like to help her up.
Yeah.
And when she reaches for it, he like pulls it away and like puts it through his hair, like too slow kind of movement.
Uh-huh.
And then he like thinks he's funny.
Yeah. He's
and then
not.
The evil version of Elizabeth Moss comes over and like cuts her throat with the scissors.
Yeah. Did you see the kitty that was crawling on the ground that she had like blood just dripping out of her neck the entire time that she was trying to talk to
Scary?
I sure
did. Where she was stabbed.
Yeah.
I did see
that. That was fantastic.
That was gross. It was a good effect. It was real gross.
I really like that.
Yeah, real gross.
So Addie is at their house now. Okay.
Because why would she think that they would have evil doppelgangers trying to kill them too?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But this is a very inconvenient or unexpected turn of events.
Would you have gone to the police station first? Because I would have.
I would have.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they're on the lake as well. So they would have been the closest people. And maybe they thought.
Take shelter or something.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Addie's at the house. She's banging on the windows so that they can let her in.
Yeah.
So that she can seek shelter. And then Scary Josh comes over to the door,
mm-hmm.
and when he opens the door, she sees, like, this blood all over him, and then she hits him in the head with, like, her fire poker.
Yeah.
He doesn't flinch.
It didn't work. It, like,
at all.
Made a hole in his forehead. It didn't work.
No. So Scary Kitty and her girls drag Addie into the house.
Yeah.
Scary Josh comes out towards Gabe.
Yeah.
And then Gabe tells the kids, run.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here.
And evil Josh is, like, taunting him. He's, like, hopping down the stairs.
Yeah, like, crouching down.
Yeah, he's, like, fucking with him. He tells the kids to get out of there, and I was like, I just... And it was weird because... Evil Josh went and put, like, dead Josh's leisure robe over his weird jumpsuit. Like, okay. This guy's got jokes, I guess.
Yeah, no, he jokes for days.
I guess. Okay.
Jason and Zora decide to go inside of the house.
Yeah. To help their mom, I guess.
Yeah.
I think, well, okay. Zora's character is a ballsy bitch. Like, she is a tough, brave girl.
Yeah.
So I honestly think for her, she was going in there to help her mom. And I think Jason's like, don't leave me alone.
I know. It was just a weird move. Like, she's a ballsy bitch.
Yeah. I appreciate the move. I don't think it was the smartest one, but I appreciate it.
Well.
Okay.
Okay. So they go into the house. Zora sees a golf club.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a weapon.
Immediately.
Good for her.
Smart ass girl.
You know what? She's got a buddy system too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
doing
good. She's
checking all the boxes for us.
She really is.
The lights are on in the house.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So they see Kitty and Josh dead on the floor. And then they hear their mother upstairs screaming and a lot of commotion going on upstairs.
Yeah.
So Jason grabs, because he needs a weapon.
Yeah.
So he grabs this like geode that's on a stand.
Uh-huh. Big ass rock.
And then they start walking up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And then one of the scary daughters.
Because they see the real twins dead on the landing when they get to the top of the stairs.
Correct. But then one flies over the side of the second story and then falls.
Because Zora hits her with the golf club. So she hops out from the hallway in front of Zora. And Zora's immediate reaction is like whack in the face of the golf club. And she flew off the railing and like landed on the coffee table on the first floor.
Right.
And I was like, good for you, girl.
I know.
What an awesome bitch she is. So they kind of hear the mom making noise again. So they go down the next hallway, and in the room behind them, we see like legs. And I'm
and
like,
a handstand.
What the fuck is that? And then I realize she's doing a handstand, and she like tumbles out of this handstand and is like standing behind Jason and Zora. Well, Zora turns around and they start like attacking each other.
Yeah.
Sora beats the shit out of this girl with the golf clubs. Like, beating to death with this golf club.
There is no hesitation.
This bitch.
She could survive a zombie apocalypse.
She's a badass.
I'm just saying.
She is tough.
Give that girl a golf club and she's good.
Uh-huh. She is tough. I can't.
Yeah, in my notes I've got, can we say badass?
Because she is. So then we see in the bedroom that Elizabeth Moss is holding Addie hostage. She's handcuffed again.
Of course she is.
This bitch is always handcuffed to something. But she's handcuffed to like the footboard of their bed and she's like sitting on the floor.
Right.
So then we see Josh and Gabe, because Gabe like stumbles because his knee's still fucked up, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Stumbles into their boat, right?
Yeah. Did you see the name of it?
I did, but I didn't write it down.
I think it was,
Yacht and something? I can't remember what it was.
Biatch, I think is what it
But it had like yacht as the Biatch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Go figure.
Uh-huh. For sure. So Gabe gets into this boat and like
kind of like falls into the boat
because he's kind of sloppy. Well, that's fine. He's hurt a little. He stumbles into this boat, falls into the boat and like gets into like the cabin of the boat.
Right.
But apparently these like shadow killer people have like no urgency sometimes because he's just like meandering. Like, just walking down the dock.
Yeah, sauntering.
Yeah. Like, we see from Gabe's perspective where it's dark in the cabin, and we see, like, the boat move because he, like, jumps onto the boat.
Uh-huh.
And then Josh gets, like, into the cabin, and Gabe has a flare gun, and he shoots it. And I don't know if he was expecting it to, like, hit him in the face, but it was, like, a dud and, like, hit the ground in between them. And they both were like, the fuck?
Okay.
All right, cool. So then they, like, attack, and they fight each other, whatever. We don't see what happens. We just see Elizabeth Moss, like evil Elizabeth Moss, like standing in her bedroom, like looking out the window.
You should call her Evil Kitty.
I have to call her. My notes have her as Elizabeth Moss. That's her real name.
Well, but yeah, but she's got two versions of herself. So you got to say
the evil Moss. So it's fine.
Evil Moss.
So we see her reaction. And so we know that Josh is dead. We don't hear it, but we see this like visible scream come over her face that immediately turns into this hysterical laughter.
She crazy.
And then we see that Zora is now sneaking up in the room real quietly with her golf club.
Yeah, she is.
And she gets way too close to her. Way too close.
She can see her in the glass.
But she can see her in the reflection of the glass. So she like attacks Zora. And I'm thinking like, just start swinging, girl. Like, right. Why did you get so close to her? Just swing at her. Whatever. So she starts attacking Zora and like gets her on the bed and she's like holding her down and she pulls out the scissors.
Uh-huh.
Addie's freaking the fuck out. She's like,
because she can't get out.
She's stuck. Yeah. She can't help her. And then out of nowhere, Jason comes with that freaking geode and smashes her in the head. And I guess she did.
It's fantastic.
Good job.
I love that.
What a good family.
I know. They look out for each other.
Yeah.
So now the entire family is sitting around Josh and Kitty's table.
Right. Just snacking on whatever food on the table.
Yeah. Trying to figure out what they're going to do. They try calling the police, but they keep getting like this busy message. Uh-huh. Apparently they're overwhelmed with phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realize that they're watching this news report on TV about...
It starts clicking in Addie's head.
Because correct.
Jason's about like, well, I wonder how many more evil people are out there. Uh-huh. And then it starts clicking like, we can't go through to the cops. There were evil people at this house. So they're watching
the news. She's a smart woman.
Uh-huh.
Smart woman.
They're watching the news and we don't see the news and we only hear it. And apparently everybody has an evil version of themselves.
Apparently.
I didn't know how I felt about that.
How? I want to know how. Is this a government thing? Is this something where like some kind of individual company has taken everybody's DNA or whatever that they've like submitted?
I mean, they touch upon it a little bit toward the end and we start figuring out what's happening. But still like... This is a lot of the, like, inconclusive things that we have of, like...
Right.
Okay, like, we kind of eventually learn where they came from, but I don't know why they're there or...
Right.
Why everybody has one. I mean, is it to be, like, a subtle thing of, like, everybody has a doppelganger out in the world because everybody looks like somebody?
Maybe.
But, like...
But are they... Okay.
I don't... Whatever. Who cares?
I don't...
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, so the news reporter has the camera. They are panning to this one guy that they see in this red jumpsuit walking down the road. And then as they kind of pan over, they see this line of people in red jumpsuits.
Yeah.
They're all holding hands, standing in this line and not moving.
Yeah.
And then, so they keep on this like news report. And then all of a sudden we see, I guess it's the camera guy's doppelganger starts walking towards
him. Power strutting. Yeah.
And he ends up dying. Like he comes and attacks him.
Another good Gabe moment was when they're watching everybody like linked hands.
Yeah.
Jason asks like, how are they all doing that? And Gabe's like,
I don't know, but that would take a shitload of coordination.
I don't know, but that takes a shit ton of coordination. I just feel like Gabe reads my mind a little
bit. Yeah. Thanks, Gabe. Thanks for all of your levity
Thanks
that you're bringing.
Thanks for the comic relief that we need.
It's weird. So we've got people dying all over the city now. Now everything's kind of coming together. They're kind of not really understanding, but they're like taking in what's going on.
Right. But Addie's like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Because their version themselves, except for Abraham, aren't dead. And they're going to know where to find them because it's them. So she's like, we got to get out of here. We got to go down the coast, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, go to Mexico. Yeah. And Gabe's like, what?
Okay. A little extreme, but fine. I get where you're going, but extreme. And Gabe's like, we're not going anywhere. We're staying right here. We have shelter, blah, blah, blah. And then Addie snaps, basically like, you don't fucking call the shots.
Right.
We're doing this. And then Zora's like, does that mean we get to take their car? And then Gabe's like, now he's on board. Okay. Okay, we'll take their nice car.
I can't.
Fine.
I can't. It's a nice car. I'll give him that.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever, but yeah, whatever. Gabe really liked it.
He really did.
He was on board once he got to take their car.
Well, because they had talked about it earlier in the movie, too, and he was a little jealous.
It sounded like it was the car that Gabe wanted.
Yeah.
Because he was like, can you believe he even got that car and showed it off in front of me or whatever? So it sounded like there was a little bit of like car jealousy there.
Which is weird because I don't understand
cares?
That. It's a car.
Guys.
Just,
whatever.
Does it drive to get you where you need to go?
Great.
That's all that matters.
Cool.
Okay, great. So they head out of the house and realize that they need to get the keys for the car.
Of fucking course they leave it without the goddamn keys.
Of course they did.
Of course.
So the family's walking out. Addie's like, I'll go back in and look. Mm-hmm. So she gets back in the room. She walks towards the living room and like the kitchen area, realizes that the daughter that was at the smash table on the first floor that was thrown over from the second floor, she's not there anymore.
Of course not.
She's gone.
Her body's missing, of course.
So Addie is like looking around. She's cautiously like walking in and then she spots the key for the car on the counter.
Yeah.
So Addie takes off towards it because she knows that this girl is somewhere in the house or close to her. So the daughter ends up jumping on her. Addie knocks her down with like this pan that she grabbed out of the sink.
Yeah.
And then
they're like wrestling.
Wrestling. At the end of the day, Addie stabs this girl with the scissors.
Yeah. And then when Jason walks in and gets a check on her, she doesn't just stab her. Like she is repetitively stabbing.
Yeah.
And making this like grunting noise too as she's like killing this twin. And like Jason noticed it. I noticed it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, interesting. Okay.
Noted.
Yeah. And Jason seemed like, I mean, because they're all having to do what they have to do, like kill. They've all had to kill somebody, right?
Right.
They've all done damage so far. But she was doing some serious damage to this twin.
Oh, I know.
And Jason was like, okay, jotting it down, locking it in.
Mental note.
Okay. Moving on.
Gotcha.
Fine.
Okay. So they finally get in the car. Yeah. We're having a little bit of a bickering match because Zora wants to drive.
I'm like, hurry the fuck up and get in the car. She's
right.
standing outside the car arguing with her daughter. And I'm like, you don't know who's around you. Get in the car.
We already know that there is at least one of the family that has doppelgangers that has like killed people.
Right. Your family is still hunting you.
Correct.
Get in the damn car.
Get in the car. Ugh. So Addie doesn't want her to do it. They end up kind of going back and forth. And then Zora ends up driving because we see Umbre.
Evil Zora. Yeah.
Scary Zora. Or whatever, standing in the distance in front of them.
Ugh.
Zora, like her dad wants her to back up
yeah.
because we're not going towards this person.
Mm-hmm.
Zora has a completely different idea.
Good for her.
She steps on the gas. She heads towards Umbre.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like jumps on the car when they get to her.
I can't like stand a spider the agility monkey. Of these people. It's too much for me.
I know. They don't know where she went.
No.
And then
she didn't come off the back of the car.
No. But there's like a lot of like stopping and moving and going back and forth and whatever. And then Umbre ends up flying off of this car when she like slams on the brakes.
Yeah.
She flies into the woods.
Uh-huh.
And then Addie decides to get out of the car.
I can't
to go
it.
Find her.
I can't fucking stand it.
Now, I kind of understand it knowing the end of the story, what's going on. But I'm why?
I assume that she wanted to make sure she was dead so she wasn't coming back after them.
Correct. Because she knew like she was going to keep coming.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Okay.
So Sora's like sandwiched between the trees. Like she's like the meat of this tree sandwich. Like wedged in a sandwich.
Yeah. Okay. So Addie goes out. She finds Umbre. Mm-hmm. She's hanging in a tree. She's going to like go ahead and kill her, but she realizes she's, like, she's struggling to stay alive as it is. She must have been impaled by a branch or something that's happening.
She's the meat of the tree sandwich.
Yeah.
And she's like lunging at, grabbing at Addie, and she's like, all right, bitch, you can't do shit. She leaves her.
She ends up dying.
Yeah.
So it's daylight now, and the family is passing through this neighborhood, I guess towards their house. They're going towards their house.
Everyone's dead.
Everyone's dead in the streets. There's nobody living. They pull up towards their house and they find that their car has been set on fire.
It's in the middle of the road.
Oh, yeah. Like horizontal in the road.
Somebody put it, blocking the road, and it's completely on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
So we see Pluto standing there and he's like snapping his fingers.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. I think that was...
Was it calling somebody?
I think it was calling the family.
Ooh, I didn't like it.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
So he's snapping his fingers. Addie gets out because she's going to go confront him with her fire poker.
Sure.
And going to kill him. And then Pluto pulls up his masks. He kind of looks around Addie over at Jason sitting in the car. And Jason somehow knows immediately, which I think I know why now, that it's a trap.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to get out of the car. It's a trap. And then we see that there is a trail of gasoline that goes from underneath their car all the way over to
Pluto. Where Pluto is. Yep.
Okay.
But Jason's a smart kid too, because he quickly realized that Pluto was mimicking everything, like mirroring everything he was doing. Because like Zora's evil twin wasn't mirroring her, but Pluto was mirroring everything Jason was doing.
Everything.
So if Jason put his arms up, Pluto put his arms up, moved his mask, like he did everything as a mirror image of him.
Yeah.
So Jason figured out quickly how to get rid of Pluto. So when Jason gets out of the car, he starts slowly like walking backwards, which is making Pluto walk backwards and closer to where the car's on fire.
Correct.
To the point of where he walks himself into this fire and now he's like completely engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
And I was like, that kid's pretty smart.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just move the car backwards or like out of the way?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
And I'm thinking like, was Addie not going to do anything either? Because once she approaches Pluto, he's still wearing the mask, right?
Correct.
Pluto takes off the mask and he does it on his own and is like staring at Addie. And I'm like, is Addie not going to kill him because it looks like her son? Like, I don't know. Because she didn't do anything. She was trying to like almost like reason with him.
Right.
And the only reason why Pluto put his mask back on was because Jason put his mask on. So correct. Pluto did it too. So I'm like, was he trying to like disassociate? Like, I don't know. But Addie didn't do shit. She just stood there.
She did.
She realized the gas trail and then just did nothing.
Which is weird because she knows that he's going to kill Jason.
Right.
Like that's what his MO is. Like
that's what he has to do.
That's what he has to do.
So now she's just not going to do any. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. So Jason has obviously backed up to get Pluto to back up.
Right.
And then we see kind of in the shadow of the back of the car. Ugh.
There's like a red car parked.
Yeah. We see Red kind of come out from the shadows and then grab Jason and go.
Flies.
Yeah.
Fast.
Very, very fast.
She's just gone.
Yeah.
So then now Addie's like, oh, I should do something. And then like chases after them and she's like trying to catch up to them.
Yeah.
And she's like running on the boardwalk and she goes down those like creepy ass stairs again that takes her to the beach.
Yes.
And she sees all those people lined up.
That line of people.
All the red jumpsuits are all holding hands. They go from like the beach into the water onto like a sand dune. Like, I mean, there's so many people holding hands. And in the middle of these people holding hands was that guy who was being loaded into the ambulance with a drippy bloody hand.
Yes. So his doppelganger had killed him.
I guess so. Okay.
Okay. All right. So Addie walks over to that vision building that she walked into as a little girl.
Yeah.
Goes inside, I guess I don't know how she knew that all this was happening, but she goes in there. She has a glimpse of her as a child walking in there. She opens the door to like this back room and then like a white rabbit comes out.
Did it drive you crazy how many doorways she had to go through?
My up and down an escalator and like through a door and down a hallway.
Of hidden door in this weird, not so fun house, right? So she opens it and it takes her to these stairs. And then these stairs take her to this like furnace mechanical room type of thing. And at the end of that room, there's another door that takes her to another set of like U-shaped stairs. So now she's going down these stairs. Take her to another freaking door that take her to like another staircase that take her to another door, take her to a damn escalator.
It was a lot.
That's glowing gold. And I'm like, how far into the ground are we going?
We're going far.
Because we've gone down, 5 staircases already?
We got to keep these people like locked.
She's like, oh, more stairs? It's going to be a bitch to go back up later.
Well, I didn't know how she knew where she was going until we realized at the end, like, where
why she knew.
Yeah. But I was just like, oh my God, I'm so confused. I'd never find my way out.
I'm like, why does she keep going down? Like, why does she know to do that? But then I was thinking too, like, was it her doppelganger? Like, did she know because maybe she knows them too? Like, what she would do? I don't know. It didn't make sense to me until
maybe
later.
Because they were so tethered.
That's what my thought was. But I was like, damn, she's going down so many damn flights of stairs.
Well, she goes into this, like, white room. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a hallway.
Huge hallway. White.
It looks like kind of like a mall would look. Like,
yeah.
Like, with seating in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really weird.
And there's rabbits everywhere.
Oh my God, there's
all over the floor.
So many rabbits.
They're so cute.
They were
they
so cute.
They look at me so snuggly.
I know. Mm-hmm. We should get a rabbit so we can play with them while we record.
I've thought about it a bunch. Don't you worry, I thought about rabbits a lot. Okay.
All right, so we're back outside mm-hmm. with the rest of the family. They find an ambulance and get some medical bandages and things like that, or something to help, I guess, Gabe with his, I don't know.
He's struggling a lot. He is fine.
So Zora sees this line of hand-holding red people as well.
Yeah.
And she looks a little concerned about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so Gabe looks at it, and he has another line that I appreciated.
Go ahead.
He goes,
looks like some kind of fucked up performance art.
And then Zora made the loudest eye roll I have ever experienced in a movie before. She did the classic, like, dad, stop, without saying it.
Like, that was like a stupid dad
line.
I mean,
her eye roll was so intense that it made me openly laugh. And that was the end of that scene. It was just like, dad, you're embarrassing me.
I know.
And there's nobody even here.
Right. Just stop. Just stop talking.
Too much.
Just stop talking. So, okay, now back with Addie. Addie finds Red in one of the rooms.
Because it's like off of this hallway, it's all classrooms.
It's like
in the beginning of the movie where like all those rabbits are being stored in those classrooms. It's just all of those off of these hallways.
It's like a bunch of doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, off of this hallway.
And there's all these desks in these rooms. It's the weirdest, I don't know what this place is.
I don't either. So Red is drawing stick people on this chalkboard.
All like holding hands.
All holding hands. So she doesn't turn around.
No.
But
she's
Red
got a lot to say.
She does have a lot to say. She knows that Addie is there. Yeah. Red goes on to tell her that humans figured out how to copy the bodies, but not the soul.
Uh-huh.
And the soul was still shared between those two bodies. And then everyone underground has gone mad.
Mm-hmm.
So they just have decided to, they figured out a way to like take over,
mm-hmm.
basically, is what it was.
Yeah.
We flash to what all this underground people looked like when before they decided to do this takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And when the main person was doing some actual activity above ground and like living their lives, the more robotic version underground was doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but just in weird movements and just basically in this hallway, they were doing the same things that the people
were doing. Because they showed like when young Addie was at the carnival with her parents, we see like Addie's even her parents walking in front of her and they're like talking to each other, kind of bickering, whatever. And they're walking normal. And Addie's walking. And then we flash this weird basement and they're kind of like zombie walking.
Yeah, they're staccato type walking.
Yeah. But it's interesting because the entire basement is packed full of people. So we're seeing glimpses of the carnival and then we flash back to the basement. So everything that Addie sees happening at the carnival is happening in the basement, all in these rooms.
With other people.
Yes, with everybody's doppelganger.
With just
so
like
she like walks by this one table and this couple is like feeding each other food. And then in the basement, this couple is like aggressively like eating this rabbit.
Right.
And it's like these people are playing whack-a-mole and these people in the basement are like punching the wall. And it's weird. I don't know if they have to do what the people like the
I
humans
think they
are
do.
Actually doing,
yeah.
but they're just stuck in this basement. It was a very interesting, weird kind of visual.
It was weird.
Yes.
It was just weird.
It was unique. I have never like seen that movie before.
No.
So it was like kind of a cool like, I don't know, but
it was a play on what they were doing. I don't know. It showed how they were tethered, basically.
Sure, 100%.
I thought it was a good way to show that.
Mm-hmm.
So Red said that God had brought them together that night in the Vision Building.
Yep.
And she said that years after that they met, they all realized what they needed to do. And Red was going to be the one to get them out of this hallway basement thing.
Yeah, so they all got matching outfits.
They all
We see all of them like put their normal clothes away and get in these red jumpsuits and awful sandals. And I'm like, oh, so you guys have to match now? Like,
They're a team. They're a team. They're
a united front.
They are. That's right. Apparently it took years for them to prepare for this moment, but it happened.
I guess. Okay.
So they start. I called it dance fighting. So they're in this
room.
I
did too.
So we have flashbacks of when Addie was younger doing ballet. Mm-hmm. And then we have them kind of fighting in this classroom setting.
Like, but dancing around the perimeter of the room.
Right. And like in between the chairs and like doing these theatrical types.
And then we also see like clips of like underground Addie performing ballet dances also for the underground people. It's like these weird flips of like images of like current times and then old times of like their weird dates together.
Right. They're tethered. I think that's just a little bit more about that.
100%.
Red ends up leaving out of the room.
Yeah, because she like hits her with her own, like she stabs Addie in the head with her scissor.
Yeah.
And then she's basically kicking Addie's ass. Well, Red is kicking her ass.
Yes, she is.
She like hits her with her own weapon and then she like beelines it out of there. So now regular Addie is like limping and struggling to get out of this room to go chase her down. I was like, damn, girl, not a good start.
No, but I mean, come on. I mean, she's fighting herself, basically.
Yes. She knows what she's going to do.
She knows what she's going to do. So Addie follows her out. She finds her sitting on a bench in the middle of this empty hallway.
Yeah.
And then Addie tries to hit Red, but it keeps missing.
Yes.
And I feel like there was a reason for it. I don't really know what it was, but it's like she kept, well, it's because she knew what she was going to do.
Right. And so, like the evil one's kind of outsmarting her because she's like one step ahead of her.
Right.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It was like a real, because they kept saying like over and over again about how like they're dancing in unison.
Yes.
You know? So it was like she could not outsmart her. But meanwhile, the evil version of herself was kicking her ass. Right. Because she was like one step ahead of her. And then she like stabs her in the stomach and stabs her with her scissors. Like evil one stabs Addie with her scissors and she like scurries into another room.
Yeah. Addie still gets up.
She's struggling, but she's the champ.
She chases Red into a bunk room and then Addie ends up killing her with her poker stick, like all the way through her stomach.
Because evil one tried to catch up, I mean like sneak up on Addie and she like has her scissors in the air and Addie turns around and stabs, I mean all the way through her stomach.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Yes.
To the point of where, like, evil Addie's now on the ground, and she's trying to whistle, like, to call, I guess, to people.
Uh-huh.
And then Addie takes her, she's still wearing freaking handcuffs, like, around evil Addie's neck and, like, breaks her neck so she stops talking or signaling
the
people.
Because the chain is real long.
Super long.
Super long.
It's like a 2-foot, like, I don't know, whatever. So then she realizes that she has to have the key on her somewhere. Uh-huh. And like on her necklace, I guess there's like keys on evil. Whatever. She gets the handcuffs off. Cool. And then she hears this noise and goes over to these lockers in this room and sees Jason like hiding in this locker.
How did he get there?
Maybe evil one put him there. I don't know. Maybe he's hiding. I don't know.
Out of all those rooms, they got into that. Okay.
It's very weird.
Okay.
But Jason is like reluctant to embrace Addie the whole time.
Because she doesn't know. Because who knows? He knows that his mother has a doppelganger.
Well, I think he knows more at this point. Now I'm like, okay, he knows more than we're supposed to think he does at this point in the movie. But yes, my thought in the moment was that he didn't know who was who.
Right.
So she does that whole thing of like, stick with me. I'll keep you safe. That whole hand like interlocking finger thing that they did in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they hug and they get out of that basement. I don't know how this bitch did that many stairs. She's been stabbed how many times?
That's a lot of cardio, too.
God, I mean, the escalator is one thing, but like those are 4 flights of stairs. Damn, girl.
I know.
Ugh.
Well, she ends up taking him out to the ambulance where Gabe and Zora are still waiting for them.
Yeah, and then Addie's the one who drives the ambulance.
Because she's a badass.
I'm like, can you let Zora drive at least this time? Like, you've been stabbed in the stomach. Who knows where else? You've not had a good day. Can you at least let her drive this one time?
She's a badass bitch.
God, she's just cruising the ambulance. Everyone's just chilling.
No one's talking. Everybody's silent. They're just kind of like sitting there zoned out.
Yeah.
And then we flash back to the doctor's office and Addie is in this vision building again. Red had traded places with Addie.
Yeah.
The original Addie and pretended to be her whole life.
Yeah. So when they were in the funhouse, evil Addie attacks regular Addie, chokes her, knocks her out.
Yes.
Brings her down all those flights of stairs on the escalator and like handcuffs her again, bringing back the handcuffs to one of those bunk beds in that room that they fought in, like, where she died in. And she changes to her like Thriller shirt that she was wearing and she makes her way back upstairs. So that 15 minutes that she was gone for was them switching places.
Correct.
And evil Addie is the current day like Addie that everybody's been like living with and knowing.
What?
So then she flashes back and like is thinking all this stuff. And then we see Jason is staring at his mom.
Uh-huh.
So at this point, I'm like, he knows something's up.
Oh, no, of course he knows.
And then that's why when I was thinking about like how she killed that twin and how she killed the evil one. Like, his, like, reluctancy to her the whole time makes so much sense because he knows something's up.
Yes.
But then I'm thinking, like, why was she never evil, though?
I don't know. Maybe it's because she had to play the part.
Maybe. I mean, and then the reason for, like, the people underground uprising being led by Addie makes sense because she got her life taken from her.
That's true.
So that makes sense. But I still have lots of questions on, like, where did they really come from?
Right.
Like, what are they doing down there? Like, how could they just stay down there when there's a goddamn escalator and four flights of stairs that can easily get out of them going through a funhouse? I just... Is there a deeper meaning that I'm not getting?
I feel like there should be. I think there probably is. Maybe.
There's got to be.
There's got to be. Like, I don't... Where did all these people come from? Like, why were they created and then put in a basement?
Right.
Like, why... Who is there? Anybody,
zombies?
Is, like, there, it's, is there somebody managing this? Or are they just forgotten about? Like, what is happening?
I don't know. Because I know something in the beginning where it talks about, like, all those, like, abandoned tunnels and stuff like that. Like, okay, that's obviously where they're at. But,
correct.
Like, how do they just stay there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Where do they go to the bathroom?
Gross. There's got to be a bathroom, I hope, right?
I don't know.
For showers?
I would think so. Ugh. Right?
I don't know.
I mean, they eat raw rabbit.
Gross.
How do they cut it up?
And if they're not cooking it and they're actual people, that's not safe.
Oh, that's definitely not safe.
No, that's not okay.
Maybe rabbit is safe bunnies. And that's why they do it. I don't know.
I don't know. And why rabbits?
Is and it why?
They can just store
and it's
them?
And it's a white room. So you have all these bloody rabbits. I didn't see blood anywhere.
Gross. Real gross.
So many
if
questions.
People understand the deeper meaning, please let us know. I have some fun facts.
Oh, please tell.
I have a handful of them, so hopefully not too many, but we'll see.
Well, how many do you have? Oh my
Five.
God, Stephanie.
This one was interesting.
Okay.
Killer clowns, I struggled to get three.
Okay. I think three's a good number.
Okay, so these are fun facts from IMDb. Jordan Peele, the writer and the director of the movie, gave the entire cast 11 horror movies to watch so that they can all share the same language while filming it. So one of the movies was Jaws, which had kind of a throwback in the movie because Jason was wearing a Jaws shirt the whole movie.
Near
the beach. So I was like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Okay.
Dead Again, The Shining, The Babadook.
Okay.
It Follows, A Tale of Two Sisters, The Birds, Funny Games, Martyrs, Let the Right One In, and The Sixth Sense. So I guess they all had to watch those movies before they filmed together.
That's pretty funny.
Interesting, right?
I like that. I like that. Homework.
Right? like in the movie The Lost Boys from 1987, several key scenes took place on the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
This is even referenced in the movie when Addie's mom says to her, you know they're shooting a film over there by the carousel. Because as they're walking, she was like, oh, you want to see the film they're shooting? I was like, oh. I guess that's a reference that I would have never ever known.
I didn't get that. Okay.
Okay. The words Get Out from the 2017 movie that Jordan Peele also did can be seen carved into the side of the entrance of the Hall of Mirrors.
Interesting.
I like those little Easter eggs.
I know.
I definitely didn't notice it though.
I love these directors and what they do and what they like put in things.
Bring
in
some of their other movies.
Yeah.
During the filming at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, the rides are filled with dummies and they just CGI'd the movements for actual people after they filmed it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's probably cheaper than like hiring people to be like extras like on all these rides.
That's true.
Right?
I guess.
What do I know?
I mean, I would ride a roller coaster for free and be in a movie, right?
We've already told people if you need like extras in a movie to be like sitting in the background drinking wine and eating cheese, we would be doing that immediately.
Yeah. And talking because we talk all the time.
Yeah. That'd be great for us. The overhead shot of the Wilsons, which I guess is Addie's last name, like the four of them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I didn't know that.
Driving to their vacation home, along with the synchronized speech and the mannerisms of the twins, is a direct reference from The Shining, which is one of the movies I had to watch.
Oh, look at there.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
The son's name, Jason, is a reference to Friday the 13th's villain, Jason, who also wears a mask.
Interesting.
See, these ones are fun.
I like those. Uh-huh. That was a lot better than some of the other ones you've read.
And I actually had to like sift through it because IMDb had a lot. And I was
sometimes
like.
Sometimes they have a lot. Sometimes they have nothing.
I know. And then sometimes I'm like, I want to find the ones that aren't like, because there's a bunch of them that are like super lengthy. And I'm like, I got to get these out of here. So I got to find ones that aren't as bad, I think.
I gotcha.
Do you want to hear what we're watching next week?
Yeah, I do.
We are watching Krampus.
Okay. And that's a fun name.
Yeah. I kind of hate it.
Okay.
Krampus.
Oh, say it again.
Krampus.
One more time for the people in the back.
Krampus. But there's apparently a couple of Krampuses.
Why do you have that twitch?
Krampuses. So we're watching the one from 2015.
Okay. Is this the original one? Or
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's like
the best
the newest one? I don't know. It has Toni Collette in it, and I have PTSD from her when we watched Hereditary. So I know I'm already scared. Okay. I haven't watched it yet.
Fair enough.
I'm already scared.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yes, please. I can't wait.
I'm already scared. Okay. It says, a boy who has a bad Christmas accidentally summons a festive demon to his family home. A festive demon?
Okay, well, he's obviously very angry. He's an angry little boy.
Yeah.
And he's, how did he summon?
Accidentally summon something?
Don't you? I don't know.
That's a good. If you're summoning something, isn't that like intentional usually?
I would think so, because you would have to know what to say to get them summoned.
Right.
It's not like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
I'm Krampus. I'm here to haunt you.
That was very aggressive.
That's what Krampus is. He's angry.
Oh, God. I can't wait. Can't wait. Festive.
So check out Krampus.
Yes.
You know, we'll see how we do. And reminder about December 19.
Yes.
Our YouTube Live, Instagram Live. We're going to pick out names for our Funko Pop wins.
Your hands are up in the air
just
like
flailing.
Crazy. Yeah.
So December 19, remember. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Do it. Get on there. We'll
Good
be
pressure.
There.
All right, guys. Couple reminders. TipsyPod.com. Just live on there. Just always be there.
Just do it.
We update it often. You'll get our new episodes on there. If we have any new swag, you'll see that too. And you can check out our Patreon. Other ways to support our show. Just everything you need to know about our show is on TipsyPod.com.
Just get
on
there.
Just always stay on it.
Yeah. Just check it out every now and then.
Everything you need to know. Keep you in the loop. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Really distracted me. I am so sorry.
It was hitting the thing. I didn't know what to do. It's hitting the
He just, in the middle of like a thought, like you were staring at me as I'm going through this, and then you just like a switch off in your head and you're like, I must tie a bow. And then you just start tying your shirt. And it really distracted me. I'm sorry. I was like trying not to even look at you at one point because I was like, keep going through Patreon. Don't notice the bow. And then I just lost my train of thought.
Oh my God. So she ends up, I just burped. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
'Cause
Stuart threw up in here.
This is delicious, honey.
A little dry.
Well, mine's delicious.
Mine's dry.
Do you want to trade?
It's the It's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
With those holiday greetings in here.
How we were going to survive Christmas with 12 people stuck in a house with no heat and no electricity.
Or food.
There's plenty of leftovers, Howard.
Beer it is.
It's the weirdest thing. There's no cars, no people.
How long can this keep up?
We heard something on the roof.
What the hell is this?
St. Nicholas is not coming this year. Instead, a much darker ancient spirit.
Those are hooves. Elk or a goat?
What kind of goat walks on its hind legs?
His name is Krampus. He and his helpers did not come to give, but to take.
Hold on to each other.
He is the shadow of Saint Nicholas.
It's Christmas. Nothing bad's gonna happen on Christmas.